That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Don't touch that dial. You're tuned in to the Dread Podcast Network.
Greetings, friends. I just got really aggressively close to the mic. Welcome back to another episode of Girl That's Scary. It's your girl, Cat Daddy.
And Jazz 40-ounce connoisseur.
And I have made everyone in the room uncomfortable. We're going back to school again. Jazz is going to turn the mic off for me. How you guys?
You have 1 minute left.
I'm already at my limit. Okay. Hey, y'all. I'm so serious. It's September. We're going back to school. Boop, 3 points, bitch, with the Spanish teacher. Let's ride. We're going back to school and we're back with another episode. We're back in your ear holes. We are coming at you with a GTS doubleheader review. 1992's Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And then whatever year that movie come out, you know, I'm just going to turn the page. 2009,
Jennifer's
there
Body.
There you go, girl. Jennifer's Body. Films, movies, genres, let's go.
Let's get it. So if you want to check these out, first of all, Jennifer's Body is on Amazon Prime if you have it. She's worth the money for a cute little rant for $2.99, $3.99. I would say definitely worth the watch. And I'll explain why, but also it does have its problems. And I mean, it's 2009. It's early odds. And yeah. And it smells like it. Smells like teen spirit.
Girl.
Well, and we have Buffy the Vampire Slayer, which you will have to rent. This is something I used to watch on TV all the fucking time. I've seen this movie so much, but somehow the only thing I remembered was how funky is your chicken, how loose is your goose. I didn't remember nothing else except for this bitch was killing vampires and she was a cheerleader. I don't know why that part of the movie stuck with me. All I remember is she was a cheerleader and that was a routine. I remember that. How funky is your chicken, how loose is your goose.
Is your goose. Listen, they had some moves. They had a couple cheers and chants I've heard before. So it very much gave Bring It On, pre-Bring It On. So basically exposing the girls early.
I can't wait till we get to that part because the beginning of Buffy.
No, but both these moves were a good time.
They are a fun time and they take place at school, at high school at that. So let's go ahead. Well, first, let's go ahead and give this spoiler free situation, like what the overview is, so we don't forget to throw the spoiler in, because we'll start to talking, and I'm sorry.
Just really bad. Yeah, I don't even know.
Well, spaghetti language.
Whatever.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer is exactly what it fucking sounds like.
P-R.
Cheerleader Buffy finds out that she is a vampire slayer, and you learn about her journey with that, period. That's it. That's all you need. It's a fun time. It is also campy, though. Don't go in thinking you're about to get like 30 days a night fucking vampires. Mm-hmm. This is not what you're about to get. Hissing. These vampires look like they would be on The Sims. They would go to the parties. They would. Those are the Sim vampires be at the club, bro. You go into the bar and you see a bat fly in the bitch and they just pop up and now they're a person with a bodycon dress on.
This is my kind of time, actually.
Well,
I hope that's what my character does.
Yes.
In The Sims. Great.
Well, I don't know if you know how to fly and transport yet, but you are very fast. What happens is you see this like black shroud and then they just appear.
It's like real life. I'm randomly fast out of nowhere. Emergency situations mostly.
Yes. So you do pop out at night, but you got to, you know, get some, get your vampire moves up so you can learn how to fly. But I got to play in your household some more so I can up. Because you got to study.
Am I a vegan vampire? What's wrong with me? What's going on?
No. You have to, like, you know how you level up skills on the sim? Like cooking, you start at level one. Vampire, you start at level one. It's like fledgling. And then you got to go up to a regular vampire. So you got to, like, read about vampire lore and study. Oh, okay. Like, you got to go to get the microfiche.
Oh, lineage. I'm at school. Okay. Mm-hmm.
You gotta learn, and then that's how you up your vampire shit.
That's like this book series, House of Night. Shout out to all of those who have read House of Night.
I have not. There. You love a vampire series, and I love that.
I do. There's one that I started reading, but I kind of like. I know this is on topic, but off topic, but on topic, but not.
Fuck it, we live.
All right, let's go. There's one when I figure out, I can't remember the name because it's across, it's over yonder, and you know I'm not about to get up and go. But there's a series, I believe, by a Black author. They're no longer with us. I believe they passed of cancer. You know, cancer's crazy. I feel so ashamed of myself because I don't know the name. But it is a vampire series, essentially unfinished, because the person, of course, the creator has passed. But that's one that's right up on deck for me because, you know, I love me a vampire series. The vampire lore, period, because I am a vampire. The end.
Kathleen is a vampire and I am an aspiring werewolf, you know, living my best life. But not a zombie, because I can't have my skin starting to rot. I can't live like that, baby. Just take me to the king. Ooh, yeah, you gonna be decaying. It smell like booty hoes. I don't. That's my God. Speaking of rotting, this is completely off topic, but rotting. I saw a tweet and somebody was like, why the fuck can I smell veneers? Like, why the fuck people veneers be stinking? And that's a real thing. real thing, because a dentist actually was like, what happens is people are going to certain places and getting veneers and they're not doing the proper teeth care underneath. So people's teeth are rotting underneath if they have like cavities. Because you have to, if you have a cavity, it has to be filled first. You can't just slap a thing and bacteria and stuff, and then you can't properly clean it because whatever is getting under there, whatever sealed under there, you don't know what's boofing under there. So your breath is constantly on boof. And my teeth look like chiclets. I'm not even gonna hold y'all. I love my smile. I'm not ashamed of my teeth or nothing, but I have little chiclet teeth. So I'm like, bruh, if I got rich, I would not get veneers, but I would definitely get my teeth fixed. But I'm going to wait till I have big girl money and be like, listen, I need you. First, I need my wisdom teeth pulled. I need all four of them hoes pulled. So let's start here. But back to fangs and not teeth.
Veneer upkeep.
Veneers. I would veneers get fangs. Funky, bitch.
I would get fangs. Top flight fangs.
I want fang fronts. I can't wait till, again, one day when I get the big bag, I'm going to get some fronts and I want them to have fangs. Yep. That would be beautiful. That would be a great wedding gift. I would like to have matching fronts with my spouse. That would be beautiful. Wonderful. Crossing. Yep. We are going to jump the broom and then pull our lips down so we can expose our fangs. Yeah.
Absolutely. All right.
I wish you could do that on The Sims, because that is the only spouse I'll have right now is Sim spouse. Okay. Fake weddings. Right. Love fake weddings, because I have endless simoleons. Real weddings, stressful. All right. Back to the spoiler alert.
I just want to throw that out there because we went off topic. I just want to let you know we back now.
Yeah, we are back. We are back in the car. We stopped to get snacks. And we are here to talk about Buffy the Vampire Slayer 1992. And, you know, we start the movie off, right, with Buffy and her cheerleading crew. And Buffy is played by Kirstie Swanson, who is MAGA, yes, I believe so.
That's what the streets said.
Have I seen any of her tweets or anything? No, because I don't follow her. But I mean, why would they lie? Several people have said it. I believe them. I'm not about to blow her tweets up because I'm not about to stress myself out.
That's all right. But you know, there were some other people that were, you know, lots of familiar faces. Merrick, played by Donald Sutherland.
Yes, we also have Pee Wee Herman. His name is not Pee Wee Herman. Paul Reubens. How do you say it? Emily?
Bad bitch name.
Emily, bitch. Okay. I saw that fucking $1 million baby is in this bitch. Okay.
Hillary Swank. Crying. Yes.
Girl, because I see Hillary Swank and said, I What? I did not know she was in here.
Listen, this was first one of the first or top first, if not their first movie for a lot of people. Bennifer, this was very on topic. Ben Affleck's in this movie too.
Wait, what?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, that you missed him. He's on the other basketball team.
Bitch, I didn't realize surprise. That was him. See, you know I'll be knowing people's names. I need to do better about it. Luke Perry, RIP, is in there. You said he was from 90210.
Luke Perry never... not with us no more.
No. No.
Was I asleep? Hold on.
He passed in 2019, hun. It was I believe a stroke or something. Yeah.
RIP. Hold on. Nah.
I'm sorry that I had to break that.
Where was I at? Hold on as I immediately go.
Yeah, sorry,
bitch,
Kat.
I do remember this. Oh, my God. I'm tired. I'm tired. You know what? This was a 2019, 2020. What is time?
Again, 2019.
I'm tired of this shit.
To now, we have lost so many greats. But you know what? David Arquette is still with us. Okay.
Thank goodness. Because David Arquette is also in this movie.
I did not know that. And he got a gold tooth. Like, now y'all got Dewey in here with some fucking fronts and shit. I don't have time.
Playing Benny and the Benny and Pike characters, girl.
They're fucking dusty. And Ricky Lake is in here. You only see her for like a quick cameo role, I believe. She's like the waitress we'll get into what scene she's in, because I have a note what the one thing she fucking says that I remember, because I don't think we see her anymore. But this movie surrounds these cheerleading squad. They doing a cheerleading routine. Now, I thought we were going to start with how funky is your chicken? Because, again, that's the only thing I fucking remembered.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know what. I was like, damn.
This is fair.
But they did not start with that routine. They started with another routine. And as a young warthog, before I was a cheerleader, yes, I was a cheerleader, guys. And I was also on the dance team in the marching band. I thought this routine was really top flight at 4 or 5. And then watching it as a grown adult who has been on several cheerleading squads, I was like, wow, this is kind of mid. Y'all are kind of, my coach would have made us do push-ups after that routine.
Yeah.
You turn around while y'all mess the time up, go run the lap. Y'all need to take a lap. Y'all are a little offbeat. Also, you got the people in the front who are not dancing the best. They don't have the most spunk.
They need to be in the back and they need some more coaching. Getting coached is okay, but we got to play the back until we get the moves together.
Now they can do like tumbles and that kind of stuff. That looked good. Their form was great for that. But the dance routine, who
needs work?
It is. They're not even giving Bring It On, because Bring It On, even they copied a little bit better than this. I don't really know. I'm sorry. If you're gonna copy the work, can you at least do a fucking good job?
Shaking and moving.
No, Toros was not playing. They were wearing that shit like it was their shit. Bitch, look how perfect this is. You stole this from across town.
We gonna go Toros.
Bird, it's cold to hear.
I know you know a white girl make that shit up. Tell her, bitch!
I know you didn't, ooh, bitch.
That movie be cracking me. I love Bring It On. I don't know how we got full circle, but we still talk about teen high school movies. That's right.
Hey, OEOEO, ice. Yes. So we are here back at the high school. They're doing their routine. We see Buffy got a little basketball player boyfriend. First of all, the coach don't know what the fuck they doing. Let's start here. I didn't realize, because, you know, as a child, the dialogue, you know, you don't pick up on all the dialogue of what's happening. Mm-hmm. I already told y'all, movies from 1985 to 1994 usually make me fucking sick. And for several reasons. Now, there are some that stand out and they are good. Not going to lie to you. Child's Play 2 is one of them. The haircuts are usually always disappointing. They're always disappointing. Chrissy Swanson hair don't look too wild for the most part, except I don't really care for her big dance hair at the end compared with the dress she had on. But you know, that's different. You know, that's just it makes sense for the time, so it's fine. But the hairstyles are wild. Somebody got like a slick, but you know, remember the clear gel? You just squeeze out the clear gel and you just, it looked like he just took some of that in his hand and slid it back. But the coach didn't know what he was doing. Because first of all, repeat after me. I am a person and I have a right to the ball. First of all, that's not what. And then he had the play upside down. Like the player was like, bruh, it's like this. He was like, oh, you're right. And switch. I was like, bruh, do you teach history and you just happen to be here? Are you subbing for the coach? Because what's going on?
We love this.
You got the fucking civics teacher subbing for the fucking coach in here. I don't understand. Well, they're playing the game. We learned that, you know, it's a high school environment, very white high school, although we do have one black cheerleader.
Nicole.
And I mean, I have stuff to say about this entire friend group as a whole, because they're not girls that I would hang out with. No. And it makes sense that, you know, the main character in real life might have been Maggie later because of the some of the stuff that is being said. It's not even super subtle, but other people might not catch it. But I'm like, how did I not catch this?
There are some sentences that are being used in this movie. There are outfits, but there are definitely some sentences. I love will the say outfits. Something positive about Nikki. Hair is laid. Mama had bouncing every scene.
She had a fresh relaxer.
Whoever was on the scene getting her hair done.
Listen.
And they had them ends bumped.
The ends were bumped. Remember, another off topic. We talked about getting your hair high combed. And you remember you always want your shit straight. And they was like, I don't want no curl. They like, let me put a little bump in it. Let me just bump the end. Now you got a fucking 1960s fucking hair dude looking like you sing doo-wop and shit. Why you bump my hair so hard?
Just bump the end. No, mama, no.
No, I want it straight. You don't want no curl. No, because you're not about to give me a small bump.
I closed my eyes and saw James Brown with that swoop, girl, and I'm losing.
My hairstyle for my sixth grade fucking picture. I look like James Brown, bitch. I do. My hair. Oh my God. Fresh press and curl with that thick ass Dax grease. Because my grandma used to sit my ass at the stove. Though. She was like, hold your ear. You know, we're here, but.
I'm cracking up. I'm cracking up. But I feel like it was moving, though, I guess.
Yes. Well, we are here after we see Million Dollar Baby in the crowd. We all pass all this. We seeing them walking around after the game. They pretty much just jumped to them being at the mall. And remember mall culture? Wow.
Yes.
Not anymore. We don't walk around the mall.
You spend a lot of time at the mall.
Just there.
You used to have concerts at the mall. All kinds of shit popped off at the mall.
Raffles. You could win a car at the mall.
Girl. Shows at the mall. They
used
still
to buy
that.
Ticket. I don't know. You used to buy tickets from the mall for like concerts and shit. Like even the concerts weren't at the mall. You used to go to the mall to buy the ticket for the concert sometimes.
Yeah. Ticketmaster sometimes had a booth at the mall or Macy's. Mm-hmm. Somebody's Macy's always had a Ticketmaster. The mall was popping. Photo picture booth at the mall.
Well, if you going to a concert like me, you probably just going to DTLR to buy your ticket. So I don't know.
At the mall.
Well, they're walking
Wale
around
used
talking
to sell tickets at the mall.
Well. That's where motherfuckers. That's where people was buying their tickets anyway. So I mean he knew what the niggas was.
Local rapper niggas be selling shit at the mall. It's going down. The mall was a place, and they at the mall finna go shopping.
Well, they're also talking about their fucking grades, and this is the first line that got me, because especially as a Spanish teacher, bro, she was like, "How they gonna give you a C plus?" Because she was like, "Yeah, because I think El Salvador is in Spain or something." How does it care? Something about El Salvador. I'm never going to Spain. I was like, "What?" So what you're telling me is that you don't know El Salvador is a country because you said it's in Spain, which is a country, and they're not one. They're on different continents. When I tell you my brain exploded for a second, I said, "Hey, bro, so you didn't even look at the map. You didn't even look at that bitch." I was like, you know what? You failed that map test in your Spanish class. That's what happened. You failed the map test, and now you got an attitude. But with this logic, you should have failed, because I can't pass nobody in good faith if they are telling me, you know, that El Salvador is in fucking Europe with Spain. They go and they buy their outfits. You got this April O'Neil ass fucking coat, and they tell her it's 5 minutes ago. So that's why I already knew Kimberly, I think, is Hilary Swank character. Kimberly's like, that's 5 minutes ago. First of all, I would never. If I see you like a coat, I don't give a fuck. If I hate the coat, don't like the coat, I'm like, okay. I'm not going, you know, gas it up if I don't like it, but I'm just like, okay, cool. Because everybody has different styles. So it's not like you have to wear what I would wear. Also, right. I don't think we're very like, oh, I'm super trendy. It's just like, I wear what I wear, and that's just what I got on. I like this, and this is what I'm wearing. They give like, I am an it girl, so to be an it girl, I must have my clothes that are trendy. So I have to wear the thing that's in, and this is not in. But you learn that she's a hater bitch later because she show up with the jacket on. I'm like, bitch, it's retro. Popping your ugly ass collar.
Rolls
bitch.
Eyes.
Merrick is looking at them. Donald Sutherland is peeking at them with a... He is dressed like Carmen Sandiego without the color pop.
So let's really get into this really quickly. So Merrick, rewind to the story a bit. So our opening scene for real is you get some backstory and some lore on like the Slayer and how they rise to their position and how Merrick, like their watcher, trains them and gets them ready for all the big bads that pull up. And this is all across the land. You see some people in Europe. They got some throwback outfits on. They really out here just hanging out and they trying to give us the tea. Appreciate them. Love that exposition. So we pull up present day. The way Merrick pulls up on her, okay, first time in the gym, another time in the motherfucking locker room. Full stop. What are you doing in here? Where are the other adults? Also, listen, sir, you need to wait in the lobby.
And she comes in, is like, this is a naked place. What are you doing in here?
Red flag. She should have sprayed him in the eyes. I truly believe that.
Mace, bitch.
That's what should have happened. I was waiting for you. Girl, she says she was going to the function. She's not coming to your training. She is a teenage person. They're out here trying to have young people fun activities. They do not have time to train and learn how to fight vampires, bitch. They don't have time. And, you know, the real thing is she should probably make time because Othos, is that what his name is? Kothos?
Lothos. Lothos. The Kothos.
My L looked like the K, but also it looked like an O.
And this is why I can't write no more. Girl, my handwriting is girl. Let me tell y'all about, you know how you do professional development and then you know how to do the activities and you got to write stuff on a big sticky note. Why they pick me to write on a sticky note with a marker? First of all, guys, hi friends. I'm left-handed. So I'm smudging as I go. I have green on my hand, but then because no one else can read my handwriting, I now have to be the speaker as well because who the fuck can read what that say? They like, what that say? And I'm like, you lower your voice.
People who... not to put the team on the spot, but are these people who are returning or new or mixed?
Oh no, they know me, but also they probably have. We don't write a lot, so they've never seen write anything out.
So
no, we work together all the time. I like these people, so it wasn't like, you know.
Okay, but like, also I don't know that this is they writing. What's going on?
Because we've only seen each other on the computer screen for the last couple years.
They everything ain't is from on last a year training.
You mean 3 years ago?
You know, whatever. Y'all had no internet training? You know, it's a blur. I don't know.
We typed, ma'am. I typed with both of my hands. I'm ambidextrous. That's not how we say it. There is no P in there.
Ambidextrous.
I'm doing my best. I know how to read it, you know.
Love is blind. Just gotta really keep.
Love is blind. That video is dark, and that song is dark as fuck. If y'all have ever seen
I love that song, the video, actually.
Love is Blind is a great song, but it's also very sad. Please watch the video and listen to the lyrics. That shit is, wow. And then wipe your eyes, because they will sweat. Anyway.
Speaking of Love is Blind, I know we're going off topic, but Homies of Horror recently did an episode, by the time y'all hear it, it'll be recently, but about X, and there's a part where they talk about... This shit been on my chest all day. They talk about how Erica's name is Erica. And she had no issues for real until she heard Runaway Love. And when she heard Runaway Love, because they tell that story about, they tell the story about Erica. And all I see is, she started describing the scene where Mary J. Blige is singing in the Kiki Palmer's face. And it's not, y'all can see when Jazz is losing it, because this video is very sad. It's very serious. It's like all seriousness aside. But like, I love the drama because Mary is like going at it. Kiki's like, ah. Ooh, girl, this should not be as funny as it is. But they was at this,
everything's
this school, girl.
Everything's a fucking
It
joke.
Is. It really is. There's a lot of shit popping. We get introduced to Lothos. And Lothos is who Buffy should really be fucking shook up. Because she's not trying to learn how to be a vampire slayer because she's still interested in teen stuff, as she should be. But Lothos is like, girl, I'm back. I've been looking for you for all across the ages, all across the time. And I found you. And here's my big problem. I'm so fucking tired of this gross ass narrative of these grown ass men looking for these young ass women, femme characters, whoever. I'm fucking tired. Like, it's so gross. Like, I'm watching this movie and I see this old ass man slinking up behind this girl and I am stressed. And not in like, ooh, because he's a vampire and predatory. No, because he's just a fucking predator, bitch. Who wrote this? Like, I have questions. I'm really just upset that this has somehow become the narrative on things. Yes, I'm on a soapbox, but it's a soapbox that needs to be stepped up on. It's just everything about this is uncomfortable. Like, I really just want to pull the plug. I like this movie, but I want to pull the plug on the movie at these scenes because I want this shit to stop.
Also, I didn't even think about that because, you know, I'm so used to the trope of the old ass vampire pulling up on a young ass bitch. Because, first of all, the vampire is centuries old and the woman is always fucking under 21. Yep. So I'm like, you are 109. Leave her alone. And this motherfucker is clearly 600. They had on chainmail and shit back in the back. He was back in medieval times, back like we was talking about Spawn. He was with medieval man. He back there. He got fucking maces and shit and swinging up and shit. You are back from the back when the roads were made of dirt. I don't think that you need to be hollering at this girl who is literally a cheerleader. She is 17 to 18 years old. She is looking out for Christian Slater, not you.
Oh, girl, and you was the child, and that's a decision right there. When she goes, I don't want to be a Slayer. I just want to go to Europe and marry Christian Slater. And I was like, baby, this is not the way.
And I had to look up who that was because
what?
I know his name. I've seen him before, but again, a lot of the things that we talk about this, I missed out on a lot of the, white coming of age shows, the white coming of age movies, like all those people. I just did not, except for Can't Hardly Wait. I don't know how I got my hands on that one out of all the movies, but like 16 Candles, Breakfast Club, none of that shit. Girl, I don't know who the fuck these people are. I don't know what to tell you. I've heard their names, but they could walk past me on the street. I'm sorry to that man.
That's fine. And that's okay. Nobody's getting a reward for that. And we gonna leave it at that. But Christian Slater, girl, when she said that, and of course, as a kid, I don't realize that because you're a kid. You're just hanging out. As an adult looking back, baby, dreams and nightmares. I don't think this is where we got to go. I think we need to make another decision.
Now, hold up, wait a minute. Y'all thought she was finished?
Well, we need to come back with another decision.
Well, she's not going to marry Christian Slater because no, and good for her. She is actually going to try to go about her cheerleading business as Lothos and then Emil is slinking around. And mind you, Emil is slinking around like he's the vampire minion. And he's like biting other teens. And we think that we hear news reports and everyone thinks there's like a slasher or something on the loose. But it's really this motherfucker pulling up on the carousel like, what you doing? Biting motherfuckers, pulling up on people's trucks and shit. Biting people because Dewey ass get bit. Because we meet Dewey and I need to stop calling him Dewey.
Pike and Benny. Dewey.
Pike and Benny. They are at the movies and that's where the girls are. And it's a bunch of noise, blah, blah, blah. And you see them go back and forth like they don't like each other. But that changes. Of course, we have to pit two people who do not like each other at first or who we would never mix together. And now they're going to be together because they're opposing. They're opposites attract or some bullshit. And that's where we get the hot dog scene with Benny. Because first of all, he going to throw the fucking change when they go to the little restaurant. He going to throw the change on the thing and talk about what that gave me. And wrote, what is her name?
Who?
Ricky Lake. Charlotte. I don't know why I was about to call her something other than Charlotte. I don't know what I was going to call. Seth Green is in this movie and I forgot all about that. Wow. Okay. Well, Ricky Lake, Charlotte is the waitress. She's like, look, you can either get two coffees or one hot dog. You can't even get both. So what you going to get? No sides.
Pick it up.
But you're a teenager, so you probably are broke. You're a teenager, duh. If your parents ain't got money, why would you have money? Most kids aren't really working. I mean, seniors sometimes do get jobs, but not all the time. So.
Yeah, but it's just the way that the money was being handled for me.
He must do this all the time. He must throw that change. That's not fun. Nobody wants your dirty ass pennies.
Mm-hmm.
If I give you this coffee, will you leave?
Okay, so. I don't want to be a negative Nancy, but Pike and Benny, are they super seniors because they have apartments, but they're also at prom. And I know people are emancipated, but also I have questions. They scream older teens to me.
But are they older teens? Are they 19
or 20? Or
could be. They do have their own fucking house. Or I wonder, do we just not, one of those people we just kind of don't see their parents or just know they'd have their own place and there's no one else in there. I mean, they look old, but a lot of times I feel like they let the teens look older anyway. like the teen guys look older, but then they make the teen girls look a little bit younger.
We don't really see them in school at all. We see them all times outside of school. We don't see them on school property except at prom
when they pull it
up to see Buffy. Like, they pull it up, like, they don't even really go here. They just occasionally pop up at the building, you know. I don't know. Let me know if I'm wilding. Every time I watch this movie, I'm like, I don't know. Also, because I know, like, they're going to push, like, it's Luke Perry. Like, whoa. Luke Perry was really fucking popular at this point. Like, it's 92, 90210. Bitch, is Luke Perry. Like, what? Of course he about to be in the movie. Like, you have all these people in here. This is David Arquette, young David Arquette. He is an Arquette. He's not the only one. The other ones are also out here doing stuff. This is that, like, you know, young Hollywood at the time. You got people up and coming, everybody trying to do what they can to get out to LA, get on the screen. You know, I don't know what it has to do with this story, but we're having a good time. This movie here, girl, like, I will say what's a fun scene is after we get this whole, like, montage of Buffy, like, working out and finally deciding she wants to become a slayer and going through that whole trial. I love the 80s, 90s movies. I know you'd be over it, but they love to throw a random montage in. And the montage be having fun music, lots of high kicks, maybe, and there's different transitions. Like, most times now you see people like, I'm just putting on these clothes in this room. Then they're like, bitch, I'm going to work. I'm about to go to the house. I'm going to the gym. I'm about to show you how fucking active I am while this song is playing. Get into these moves. And that's what was happening with Buffy. She's like, I changed my clothes. I changed my stance. My appearance has changed. I am kicking high. I'm stabbing people. Pow, pow, pow. Like, she's really just out here doing all the moves. And I'm like, damn, this is cool. Like, shout out to your evolution. Way to fast track the story. I see what you guys did there. And as you know, with this character arc, she's gone from being like, what, like, I guess, like, this ditzy kind of girl who's just out here to a more, like, serious, and I'm a little broody, I'm a little edgy now, like, I still wear hot pink, but maybe I'm wearing, like, a leather jacket over my body contrast, like, yeah, shit like that.
Giving very much, I'm a girly girl, but also I'm kind of a badass now.
Yeah. Because,
you know, we got to mix it up. That's very new to have a girly girl captain of the cheerleading team or something, or a girl who's actively dating a boy or something like that. And then they're allowed to have, you know, an identity outside of their relationship.
Yeah.
They're able to talk to their friends about stuff that's not boys. They can do all kinds of fun stuff. And then, of course, she's just kicking ass, like, naturally. She does have a training montage, but she's also naturally gifted. You see her ass, she gets a fly. That scene is wild as fuck. You know, she punches motherfuckers. She's like catching fucking stakes and throwing them people chests and
aerodynamic. Aerodynamic.
Real aerodynamic. Okay, maybe that's why she did good well as a cheerleader. Mm-hmm. So I see the edginess, but she's also like, ultimately, I'm going to the cheerleading team and I'm going to the dance because I just want to be a teen. Because she pulls up and tries to, like, fight the boss, and she doesn't win. Like, somebody had to save her, and Merrick dies or some shit like that. Or Merrick was about to die, like, as she was going up there to stop this motherfucker. But either way, Merrick tried to kill the big boss and fucking loses,
mm-hmm.
which he dies so easily. I was like, now, girl, is this supposed to be, like, some camp ass shit? Because the way you threw your body, like, no. Girl, yeah. What is this? You didn't have to die, Merrick. You wanted to die. You wanted to go. You were sick of her shit. You were sick of everybody's shit. You've been training hoes for fucking centuries. Not even decades, for centuries. I think you were on your way out. You had one foot out the door. And you was like, oh, okay. Let me put the other foot out the door.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she's like, I'm just going to go to the dance. I'm going to put my outfit on. And then we go to the dance, which is the iconic scene. Everybody's in their prom dresses. Mm-hmm. There's lights and fun music. She comes in with this big ass white dress.
Hug the World poster.
Hug the World. Speaking of the world, why the fuck? Another line that was smelly. They're trying to do this environment project, which they're like, let's get rid of the ozone layer. What about, because that means they don't know what it is. And the girl's like, what if we make a sign with Earth on it that says, don't tread on me?
Girl.
And then Buffy goes, well, I mean, it's the Earth. We live here. We kind of have to tread on it. So
what I heard that I was watching with my partner, and they were like, damn, like, they've been cutting it for a long time, haven't they? I said, I'm so fucking weak. Please get out of my face. I want to throw a line out there that doesn't overshadow the don't tread on me shit, but was fun and not racist. Get out of my facial, provided by Hillary Swank. Get out of my facial.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, bitch.
Get out.
Leave. Okay. I'm going to write that down. That was fun. Can we talk about how ugly Buffy's boyfriend was? He broke up with her fucking answer machine, bitch. What?
You didn't even break up with me. You didn't tell me because I wasn't home. And then you gonna take my motherfucking friend who was really not friends. You gonna take my friend to the dance, and then she gonna talk about like, oh, don't be looking, don't be trying to avert your motherfucking eyes, bitch. You came here, you knew that was my nigga, and you pulled up with my nigga. You lucky I don't beat your fucking ass outside of this thing, or I'll put your face in this fucking punch bowl, fucking waterboard your ass.
Girl, not I'm cracking up. You just got to do that off GP. But now, like, the prom is the most illest scene in the movie. Here's why. Because, you know, everything's going down at the prom. It's like the scene. It's the happening place to be. Whatever the folks be saying, I'm crying. Y'all can't see Jazz. Her solos got real goddamn loose. So everybody pulling up to the dance. Everyone's here. It's like a moment of reckoning, a lot of full circle moments. And also, because throughout this whole portion of the school year, we forgot, well, we don't forget that there are kids or teens disappearing at a rapid pace. Like, these kids are fucking vanishing every day. Funerals, like, every motherfucking week. They can't keep up. But guess what? It's the prom, baby. It's the end of the year. Let's ride. And they about to show up, and everybody's pulling up, and all you see the vamp kids at the door, and they're like, hey, we trying to come to the dance. They got their alt gear on. They're looking like old Hot Topic. It's good to see you guys. We back in action. Lots of chains, lots of leather, lots of plastic, lots of latex, lots of just outfits, lots of hooks, JNCO jeans. I was excited. Lots of black.
JNCO jeans.
People looking like the Crow. It's some lit ass shit out here. Like, it's out here. Let's go. And they're like, we want to come in. Let us in, guys. And, you know, Hillary Swank invited them because they were trying to figure out, well, how come, you know, they here? She's like, you know,
they're seniors.
I'm like, bitch, fuck
they're
you.
They're seniors. They're sending out all the seniors. I'm like, are you sure these people are seniors? Because they look 37. Was they seniors last year? Or
ma'am,
are they seniors in college?
Now, you know Holly will be cutting up and be throwing these grown-ass thugs in these roles. Ain't nothing teenage about it. And I'm glad they're not teenagers, but also I'm stressed because what's going on? Because, you know, they got to throw some members of the youth in there, too. I don't really know. But these people pulled up, and they was ready to partay.
We trying to party, shawty. And let's I was like, go. Wow. Because they're just like, they breaking the window, sticking their tongues out. I thought they were fun. Yeah. They were very fun. They were having the time of their life. It's like they just got initiated to the vampire club and it's their first party. I'm like, now I don't want to be a vampire.
You sure? Because if we're pulling up and we're very much giving off fire sign energy at the door, what you really think is about to be popping off? I think you should join in.
You keep trying to convince me to be a vampire when you know I am a werewolf.
We know there is a realm where both can exist, Underworld franchise.
Okay, but can I go? My thing is, can I go in the sun? I need to be able.
When you're a hybrid, you could do whatever.
Okay. I'll take a hybrid, but girl, I can't just be like, the part about vampirism is the outside sun part. Like, I'm sure I could get somebody to donate me blood, like movies, I mean, like books. If y'all haven't read Fledgling, Octavia E. Butler, please read Fledgling. That vampire lore is fucking amazing. Read everything by Octavia E. Butler. Antonina Reeve, thanks. Okay, bye. Anyway, yes. Shit, I lost my thought. I was like, oh no, I thought about that vampire. Either way, vampire. I would like to be.
Blood.
Yeah, I need the sun. Yeah, I just sun. Like sun. I like sun outside. I like the sun outside. I need that. But these vampires, they did look cool. They had cool outfits on. I think the 90s helped because a lot of people had really nice outfits on. Like, a lot of the scenes when they stop at people's fits, their hair doesn't look great, but their outfits. I feel like the 90s didn't have great hair at the beginning because they had great outfits, and if they would have had both, they would have went Super Saiyan on everybody else and it wouldn't have been fair.
I'm crying. I mean, I'm going to say yes. The hair, like, it doesn't really send me too much. I expect people to do all the things. I thought the hair was kind of fun. I thought that for them to be teens, the hair was like Hillary Swank's hair, for example. I love a half up, half down. She had a little spiral curl in the front. You know, I am excited that whoever was on set that touched Nikki's scalp did not have her looking brazy. So that's why I was excited about, you know, the hair designs, period. For this section of the 90s, I think they were kind of just playing it safe because what we know is barrel curls. I see, you know, the classic.
Well, for our style.
Right.
Not their style. But also, that's her friendship group. They look good. I'm thinking, look at everybody else's greasy ass hair.
Yeah. Everybody else's hair was shaky. The people. Mm-mm. That's probably on purpose. They should, I mean, because everybody could have been looking shapapa. So it was some outfits at the party. I don't know. That's all my team vampire because, you know, we was just out here looking cool. Like, that's just really...
Back that's to really team vampire, thing. As always, bro. Well, but, ooh, it's a vampire jamboree, bitch.
Period. Showdown. But Lothos, you know, he's pulling up because he's decided, okay, girl, I guess it's time for me to pull up on Buffy. I'm tired of this young person really trying to outshine and do the most. And it's time for me to humble her and all kinds of other weird old man talk. So he comes into the dancery. I do not understand why Pike thinks that he can take on this person that has been around way before they were even thought of times 25 and then some. I don't understand why he thinks this is a thing. But he tries his hand anyways, you know, A+ for bravery. You know, we like that. We like participation points. And he tries and Lothos lays the smack of down on him with his sword cane. It's very much given Mr. Big. Yes it is. And he's out here and he's turning up. And you know, Buffy been getting embarrassed by Lothos this whole movie, in terms of just like, you know, she's trying to pull up to the dog and throw them hands and he's like, baby, go sit down. But this time she kicks ass and she prevails in true 90s fashion.
Yes. And you know what? All in her cute ass dress. So, you know, it's girls can kick ass too. But she does whoop ass. And it's a good time. I feel like this movie, I don't know. I know for a fact that I don't have the scores. Let me open it up because I don't know what she got on here. What
I do.
Because I know you. What?
Yep. 5.6 out of 10 on IMDb and a 36% on Rotten Tomato. Hour and 26 minute runtime.
Bitch.
Wait. PG-13 rating. You're
36. I will say nostalgia glasses. All right. Okay. Nostalgia glasses. This came out literally when I was a wee child, like right before I turned 2. And again, I used to watch this as like before I was even in school, I was watching this movie because eventually it came on TV. Because 36. Now, granted, if we're talking about plots, line delivery, some of the cliche trope shit and some of the dialogue. Okay. But a 36 is really low because this movie is very enjoyable and you could watch it again. I would have to give her a minimum of a 5. And I feel like for me, because I have a childhood attached to it, it's more than a 5 because I used to watch it all the time. And it still holds up enough where I will watch it, although some parts are very silly. I just take it as camp. It's just fucking camp. Mm-hmm. Like, it's supposed to be silly. It's supposed to be over the top. I love the line delivery. I think it's intentional. Even if it wasn't intentional, it was trying to be cool. And that's why they got the score. I am having a good time. I'm not having a 36% time. I'm going to have to give her. Now, granted, is it the best made? No. Is it some cliches? Yeah. Some line delivery off? Yeah. Could there have been more to the story? Sure. But I have to give her at least a 6. I'm sorry. She has to have a 6.
Yeah. This movie's definitely a 5.5, 6.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to give her, 6. The 6 is the nostalgia button for me because, this is how funky is your chicken?
How loose is your goose?
That is where I am or was. Now, okay, and I don't have the same love for her. Also, I'm looking at her dress shop and she put the better dress back. And got a different dress. And just I'm leave a little sad about it.
Just leave it at that.
But you know, we're here. It's a different time. So maybe that was too much. Maybe it was 5 minutes ago. So she didn't get it. So we go to the next movie. Wait, how did you feel about this movie overall? You said 5.5, 6. That's, you know.
Yeah, it's like a 5.5, 6 for me. It's a movie. I mean, even with the nostalgic glasses on, I mean, it could just be on in the background. I do have memories of it just being on HBO like all the time, just in the little random rotation syndication situation. And I would plus pray on it often, like when it'd be on. So, you know, I don't dislike this movie. I'm really trying to figure out what was wrong with the people. I had thoughts about it when I'm looking at these Jennifer Body score. Like, what is wrong with the people? I mean, I do understand to a certain degree, but my eyes are squinty. I would like to point out as well that that there was a lady director, Fran Rubel Kazoo. I apologize if I mispronounce that and kill that. I'm going to go research how to say that super correctly so I could be correct. But Fran K did that. And they directed Buffy the Vampire Slayer. So I learned a new thing because I did not know that was a lady director for that film.
Wow, as well, that's news to me.
Yeah, and then Jennifer's Body was directed and written by people who go by she, her pronouns for the most part. And that's pretty tight. But these ratings were also shaky. And Jennifer's Body was a film. I saw it when it came out.
Did you? Okay. I think I might have saw like a commercial or so, because 2009 was like my freshman year of college. Freshman year of college, or maybe, no, it came out release day September 2000. So I was a sophomore. Okay. I was a sophomore in college. I wasn't going to the movies as much in college because I was working all the time. But my sophomore year, I was working about 32 hours a week and at school full time. So girl, I was not going to the movies like that. Girl, I was going to bed. So a lot of the movies that came out between 2009 and like 2012, 13, I kind of missed out on. But then 14 and up, I kind of, you know, I was out of school. I kind of had more time on my hands a little bit. I didn't see that. I kind of wish I would have. I think I would have enjoyed it a little more if I would have saw it when it came out, because, you know, ignorance is bliss. I'm going to say it right quick. Like, the dialogue wouldn't have been as shitty to me. Like, not all of it's shitty. There is some good dialogue in there. Let me not, like, make it seem like the movie ain't shit. There's good dialogue and there is some good writing in there. However, there is some dialogue that is like, why did you say that? What the fuck made you say that?
There were a lot of choices made.
You know, I know people roll the dice and take risks and shit like that, or, you know, they think something is gonna hit a certain way, or like, hey, and sometimes you fumble the bag, but there were some fumbles that, like, why would you even think it was okay to say that? let's start here. Why? Maybe because it's the character saying that, so you're not the character is like, because Jennifer is, we already said spoiler alert earlier, she's not the best person. So it's like, well, maybe it's because she's saying a lot of the fucked up shit. Granted, she's not the only one, but she's saying a lot of the fucked up shit. So I'm like, well, maybe it's because she's kind of a shit person. But I'm just still like, meh. Yeah. Why did you say that? Like, why would you say that?
It felt like a reach. But also, I was like, this was a shaky time. I think that this was definitely over exaggerated at some points in this film. I do not think some of this dialogue aged well. I was watching the movie and I was like, woo, some of these words are a little too close to other words that we probably should not be saying at all anyways. And then you actually go ahead and say the words and I'm like, oh, wow, ouch, ouch, ouch.
They say some words.
I will say that it is fun seeing Kyle Gallner in this movie playing roughly the same character at this time and space that he normally plays, like the emo guy who may or may not be a rocker guy who's in the games, maybe. Guy in room, and seeing where they are now. So shout out to them.
Yes. Well, Jennifer's Body. Mm-hmm. We are dealing with Megan. What's her last name? Let me know.
Megan Fox.
Yes. Who people really was hating on Megan Fox. I used to see the Transformer movies, and I know that some people hate those movies. I don't, because I like action films and I like chaos. Okay, I like when shit explodes. Hey man, I am a simple person sometimes. I like when shit blows the fuck up. But also, they made it seem, first of all, I didn't know when I was young that she was a minor in those movies. I didn't know that because I thought she was a fucking grown up. I don't know.
That was a whole thing.
I was like, first of all, why y'all got this child in this movie like this? Y'all taking advantage of her. Then y'all are mean to a fucking child. Like, what is wrong with y'all? What is wrong with y'all? Y'all making it like now you turned her into something that, oh, she's just here to look good and she don't got no talent. And that's a fucking lie. I'm glad that the tables have turned and people are apologizing. It's kind of like with Britney Spears. People are like, no, we were sorry for wilding on you when you shaved your hair because we was not treating you right because you was going through something. Just like people are going back and reviewing America's Next Top Model and pulling Tyra to the red table talk. I like how people are going back and reflecting. We need to reflect because some of this shit was not fucking okay. And the way motherfuckers treated Megan Fox was not all right.
No, it was not.
I ain't have beef with her because I thought she was cute and I liked Transformer movies. I didn't know much else about her because y'all know I don't really, especially at that point in time.
It was a time, you know. Jazz. There was a lot going on. I'm also excited that Amanda Seyfried is in here. And yes. I love seeing her in various roles. And she various, okay, because she wears many hats, and I am a fan.
Mean Girls, I love her. Mean Girls, she is the opposite character in fucking Mean Girls.
She's in Mamma Mia as well.
You know, I wouldn't have seen that.
Yes, but for those who have, and for those who know what that is, yes, she is in that. So the girl plays everything. She does all kinds of stuff. We could
things
just keep
seen
going
and heard. She's in that talent as well. She is the talent. But they are friends. Needy is Amanda Seyfried. Seyfried? Is that how you say her name? I'm probably saying it wrong. But Needy, and we have Jennifer Tech. Yeah. So we have Needy and Jen, and they have been best friends since Sam Blocks. They've been friends forever. However, Jennifer is not nice. Jennifer is really mean. She is very beautiful. And I can understand, you know, and the idea of being a really hot teenage it girl. So you have this added, because teenagers, as MCR say, teenagers scare the living hell out of me. Let me tell you something. And I teach, you know, not teenagers, they fresh on teens, but when they get to like the 16s, because the idea that they're grown, but they're not grown, then the idea of safety, the idea that nothing can hurt, they just have too many terrible ideas that can make a perfect storm if they make too many bad choices. That's why you got to watch teenagers, not because they're not non-empathetic, but they do need to learn empathy because they need to work on it. That's something we learn, friends. We learn empathy. We need to deal with it, you know, but teenagers are wild. And Jennifer, the thing she say is, wow, she's rude. She pull up on Needy like, okay, we're going to this concert, bitch. We about to do this tonight. And she's like, but today's date night with a guy with Chip, who's in the marching band. Yeah, I'm hanging with Chip.
Come on, bang. Chip. Yes. Chip had that bang, baby. That thing swooped.
Yes, he definitely had a 37 piece. Yes, and it was bumped. He had the little piece.
Chip was in the guy that played Chip. What's his name? Johnny Simmons. He was in Scott Pilgrim.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. And I have seen that. And apparently, Perks of Seeing a Wallflower, which is something I have not seen. But I'm sure that some people listening might know that movie. It sounded popular. People talk about it.
The girls went up for it. I did not press play, but the girls went up for it.
Yeah, yeah. So that's on, like, you know, if you've seen that guy. But yeah, he definitely gives the 2009 Ball Out Boy haircut or the bowl cut. Definitely emo bang a little bit, but not emo. It's just like a half inch short of being emo. If it was another half inch, it would have gave that flip that would have gave it the emo joint.
Alternative rock station.
Everybody swoop. Like it was Fall Out Boy, the Vines. They had that fucking haircut. Who else? Everyone. Everyone had the haircut.
The MySpace kids.
MySpace kids.
Also, I mean, I'm really not gonna. Yes, yes.
Paranormal Activity 4. I think that guy has a close haircut. I feel like that's close. Supernatural. Same haircut. Okay.
Yes. I was like, okay. Because we do dive into like emo kids and kids who are seeing kids. And that's a whole conversation for a day. So that's also where that bang is going. But it's given like soft. Like it's still giving PacSun. It's like PacSun was located next to the Hot Topic. This would be the fall in between. So basically Spencer's.
Yeah.
And where the lights are on. Because you know in some parts of Spencer's it's kind of dark in there. When you get to the black light section.
Yeah. Definitely he goes to Supercuts. Either way, it's a little haircut. He's in a march band. He's a drummer, whatever. He's dating Needy. They do have a sort of cute relationship, but you know how you have friends that you've been friends with for a very, very long time, and now y'all just friends because you've been friends for a long time, but y'all kind of butt heads or they get on your nerves. That's what Needy's situation is given. It seems like she's wants to be, and she also, like, if we go through later into the movie, it seems like she likes her. Like, the way she look at her when they be holding hands. Mm-hmm. You know, it seems something like, ooh, it could be a little queer situation. Little
it
heart thing.
Is.
Because one of the first lines that is Dusty, somebody accused them of being lesbian. But they don't say lesbian. They say something. I don't remember what the fuck it was. But it was very fucking weird. I don't even know if I wrote it down. No, typed it down.
I thought about writing it down and I was like, girl, I have questions, but it's okay. Somebody said something really weird. Yes. I will say when they open the film with like what her life has been like, because you see like present day Needy and then we go into how they got into the situation they're in it. Like, I bet you was wondering how I got here. But we actually learned that she likes Toastums and because she's in an institution. And I wrote in my notes, I kind of like Toastums too. It's just the Toastums, that's the blueberry Toastums.
Toasums was cheaper.
Frosting.
Okay. Yeah. I'm surprised you don't go up for the cinnamon. Everybody likes cinnamon Toastums or cinnamon Pop-Tarts. I fucking hate those. I'm sorry.
They're good.
Not, but sorry. No. No, they're not good.
I'm a blueberry girl. I prefer... they're not good. I'm screaming.
They're not good. I would rather eat bubble wrap than eat a fucking cinnamon Pop-Tart.
You're going to literally suffocate to death eat the cinnamon. So it's literally like the cinnamon challenge.
Okay, fine.
Remember I'll eat that stupid ass shit.
Oh my God. They were also eating Tide Pods. If I had to eat a cinnamon Pop-Tart or Toastum, if my life depended on it, yes, I would eat it, but tears would be coming down my fucking eyes and I would hate every second. I don't know. It's something weird. It doesn't taste like fucking cinnamon to me. I don't know what it is, but I don't like that. I am a blueberry, strawberry, cherry girl. Any of the fruit joints.
But these underage girls in this dive bar at this concert, because Chip was like, girl, this is not a concert space, that is like a bar. And they're like, no, it's not, it's a club. And he's like, it's not a club, it's literally a hole in the wall juke joint. Literally Jennifer refers to it later as a white trash pig roast, which is super rude. Penny, yes, yes, y'all, Jasmine's jaw dropped. That's exactly what the character says after a horrific thing that happens. So they're in the dive bar.
My jaw is in hell.
Bitch, I wrote it down. I said, that's a line right there. Jennifer's character, listen, was saying some, dropping the bars, bitch. But they're at the bar and they're going there to see a band called Low Shoulder. And this band is like an up-and-coming indie, like, emo band, and it's led by Adam Brody. Y'all know who Adam Brody is. If you do not, he was in the OC. He was in a lot of 99-2000 stuff. He was in, I believe, Ready or Not. He played the brother in Ready or Not. And he's in the movie, and he's the leader of the band, and he's got his band bros, and they got the black eyeliner on, and they're like, yeah. Now, here's the weird thing, right? He's being fucking gross. He's really gross. He's flirting with Jen because there's these underage girls in this bar. And they make a point where Jen goes off because she's like, yep, smelly fucking behavior. Jen goes off and she's like, yeah, I'm going to get you a drink. And I'm like, all of you niggas need to be arrested immediately. And they're talking about like what she's doing sexually. And I'm like, this is weird. Like, send jail. For help. Yes, bitch. Just yell out jail. Just alert the authorities. And you see where Needy is listening to the conversation from the other side of the room, and she approaches them and she's like, this is really gross. Basically, fuck off. You know, she's better than you. Fuck you, bitch. Just like dragging them, as she said, and they all go to prison. But, you know, clearly there's some other shitheads in this bar too, because they're not the only people that are flirting with Jen. What's his name? The other Chris, the bad Chris?
Chris Pratt. Oh my God.
Officer Roman Duda.
And my thing is, first of all, I was like, God damn, Chris Pratt is in this? Then I'm like, you got this motherfucker here who clearly is out of high school. I know they do like deputy kind of like those training things in high school, but he looks like he is not in school. Like he worked at the police station. He has to be like 20, in the 20s. And I'm like, you are in this bar. And I feel like he was drinking a beer or something. I'm not sure if he was drinking, but I'm like, you drinking, you don't have no X's on your hands. You're 21 and they got X's on their hands because they not 21 and she in high school and you're fucking. I am disgusted, bitch.
Listen, and she makes a comment about like, she, you know, clearly Jen has been living a life and that's her business. But also I'm very concerned because she's doing things with adults. This is a situation. This is a serious situation. So Adrian Brody, Nikolai Wolf, the character who the leader of the band and his bandmate, they're up to no fucking good. They keep singing this song, Through the Trees. This is They Should Bop. And Through the Trees, eventually, like, there's like a running thing with Through the Trees. Like, it eventually becomes the town's anthem because at the club, a fire starts. And you know, people got that magic, that thing going, you're going to figure out what's going on. The building catches on fire. Everyone is like dying, perishing in this big fire. Needy and Jen like go out through the bathroom because Needy knows a way out through the side. They go out through this little window. And when they come out, backing up, when the band is performing, it's very much giving Hocus Pocus. Like they're singing a song and it seems to like enchant whatever there's going on because Jennifer is just like, I'm in the zone. And when they they all like, that's when it catches on fire. So, you know, this is a whole shaboop. They get outside the the juke joint. And here's Adrian, Adam Adrian. Woo, Adrian Brody, that's a whole other human, girl. I done called another human into the room. Nikolai pulls up and he's like, hey, do you want to take this drink? I know we just got in a group situation and we're all kind of dealing with group trauma. Like, do you want to get in my van? And I'm like, no. No. And Needy is also like, no. And the only person that's like, yes, is Jennifer. She's like, Needy, shut the fuck up. Like, we're getting on there. We're doing this. This is what I'm doing right now. We're getting in the van. And Needy makes a choice, which I can tell was very hard for that character. Like, you know, you want to be there and support your friend. But like, what do you do in a situation when your friend is clearly cutting the fuck up and we need to go home? You can go with them and be wrapped up in the shit, or you can make a choice, which might feel like an alienating choice, going, you know what, I'm going to go home. And it's alienating for you. It's alienating for the friend who's about to get in the van with like 4 to 5 other grown men. Girl, everything about this is bad. And Needy knows it, because Needy's at home like, bruh, we gotta go get her.
And not only just this, it's like four motherfuckers in the van. You about to get in here. First of all, Jennifer, you drove me here, bitch. How the fuck am I supposed to get home? You ain't even think about me. Ain't even like, oh, I'm gonna drop my homegirl off first. Or, hey, hit the keys, take yourself home. We don't see how Needy gets home. I don't know what happens to, you know, any of that. Like, we don't know what goes on with it. And nothing comes of it. So maybe she had the keys and just pulled up. Because later on, after all this bullshit happens, they were asking if she was a virgin the whole time, not because they was trying to fuck, because they was trying to sacrifice her, because they need a virgin for their fucking sacrifice. Mm-hmm. And it was like, bitch, I'm tired of playing in these podunk ass towns. I'm tired of singing songs in the middle of the mall like American Bandstand shit, bitch. I'm trying to be out here like Mr. Adam Levine. Okay, this love is taking a hold on me, bitch. I'm trying to get in here and drop these albums, and then I can play the Super Bowl. I'm trying to do that. And they was like, yeah, bro, we trying to do that. Fuck this bitch. What's your name? Jen, bet. We sacrifice Jen. Peace up, A-Town, down here, devil. And they kill her ass. I was like,
oh.
And she's so sad. She's like, girl, I'm a virgin. I don't know how to have sex. Please leave me alone. But then that seals her doom. Her lying, like, because she thinks that they're going to do one thing, and they're actually doing the other.
Right. It's a time, and you see this whole scene, like, they get rid of the knife. They're located in a place called Devil's Kettle, by the way. It's a town. Apparently Devil's Kettle is an actual like location place somewhere, like in terms of an actual fall. But in this particular situation, the waterfall is kind of like a whirlpool, and it goes, things that go in, they, you know, people, the thing is like, oh, people don't know what happens where it goes. So just that's something for your thing. But when Jennifer comes back, Jennifer eventually makes their way into Needy's home without Needy even knowing about it. So Needy thinks that there's like, you know, an intruder running in there. And it's actually Jennifer. And she's like covered in blood and matter and like looking a like kind of feral in the face, giving siren. It's just like, I don't really know what's going on. And Needy knows Jen is not okay. And you can tell, like, they start hinting to it, and they eventually, like, throw it out there that Jen and Needy have some sort of, like, psychic connection that I'm assuming intense, like, at one point just probably existed because of their friendship and just the connection that they have in general, like, even though their relationship may be a little questionable, but just in terms of, like, how one person is treating the other and that whole scenario. But I believe, and it seemed like the psychic connection kind of intensified, as Jennifer's progression continued along in the film. So, you know, girl, they're out here cooking it up. They're shaking it up. And Jen, you know, is making choices because Jen's got this new life. They've inherited these new responsibilities. But with all these new responsibilities, there's upkeep and there's things to keep up this new appearance. Because if we want to look like that we are bright and beautiful selves, beautiful with air quotes, we are going to feed on our classmates. That's exactly what we're doing. So Jonas, you're up first. Shaw, ate you. You did like shit. And rest in peace to that guy. Yep, y'all can't see Jen's face.
And the thing is, the teacher seen the man going to the woods and he was like, oh, he's about to go, you know. Well, he see him first, but he's in the woods thinking the scream is like a cry because he's been crying out loud. He's like, that's my best friend, like showing emotion or whatever. And she's like, yep, you're about to meet him, bitch. He's like, what you mean? I'm pretty much, I'm about to send your ass to God. Yeah. I was like, okay, damn, you ate this man in the woods. That's fucked up. His mama all crying over the body and shit. He's torn to pieces. So they think another kill for the slasher, bitch. Then we going with our golf friend, who they won't even about to get the golf friend at first, which is rude as fuck. Because, first of all, he was pulled up the knees like, glad you're alive. And Chip had a little... Chip had a little attitude for some other shit, but we're gonna talk about Chip for a second. After this, the dude is like, oh, hey, Jen, you know, I kind of want to ask you out. I want to take you to the Rocky Horror Picture Show. And she said, I don't want to see boxing. And it was like, he was like, you know, all right, bro.
Pissed.
At that point, I would have been like, yeah, I don't think I want to go on this date anymore. Bye.
I just wanted to say that this was a great date. Every time I see this in the movie, I'm like, yes, yes, you are taking your date to the midnight show on the Rocky Horror Picture Show, as you should. It's a good time. It's going to make people come out of their shell. You see me trying to pitch a date night. It's going to make you come out your shell. You're going to have crowd participation. It's going to be a bomb thing. But Jen also, I think it was a mix of like, she didn't know and she really didn't give a fuck. Because she was just like, girl, these people be trying to holler at me all the time. Like, and here's the other thing. It's also a little apparent, maybe not like a lot, but Colin is feeling needy. Walk with me. I think that they're friends. I think there might be like a, oh, you know, or Needy might be attracted a bit to Colin. Nothing too crazy. Kind of like, oh, you know, Colin's cool. Whatever. Like, Colin's a person I connect with. They're cool. But, you know, because how they're trying to push Jennifer, like, Jennifer's the it girl in school. So all the people are all on Jennifer's dick. Like, that's really what'd be going down. Even Needy's damn boyfriend.
Wait, well, that's okay. Not really, because Needy's boyfriend, Chip, does not like Jen. He's like, you're always still my girlfriend. Oh, you do everything she says. I don't understand why you doing this.
No, but I'm not going to get too far ahead, but like...
Cause I'm, okay, later on, that does happen. But also, she literally pushed up on him. Man. She appeared, and then she lied and said that Needy was cheating on him. He probably was in an emotional state in a little bit. Was he wrong? Yes.
Yes.
But also, but still, I don't think he was like checking for Jennifer before. I don't think he was like, yeah, I'm going to get with Jennifer.
He's anti-Jennifer.
Yeah, I don't think he's a fan. I think he slipped up and he was still fucking wrong for that bullshit. But also, she lied. She used her lies. She literally was like, damn, Needy been cheating on you with some bullshit ass. Needy probably don't even know none of this. She's like, what are you talking about?
Needy's like, girl, please stop with the madness. I feel like Jennifer is one of those people like, I don't necessarily like you. I just want all the stuff that Needy has. Like, I just want Needy in my web. And so, oh, you like Needy? You could take Needy from me? No, I like you. Needy can't have you. That's it. That's how I felt like Jennifer was moving, in addition to needing to feed. Because Jonas was, all right, you can just pick Jonas off. Colin, that was a purpose, like a very purposeful target. She targeted Colin. And that setup was wild. That whole situation, wild. When Colin realizes what's going on, poor Colin. Like, first of all, Colin, you should have knew what the fuck was going on. You ain't get no real address and you went to abandoned pre-built homes, bitch. What's going on?
The homes are fucking, like, come on.
There's rats. Shit.
There's fucking rats, all kind. I would have went to the neighborhood and said, oh, they trying to set me up, and would have turned smooth the fuck around. That's it. You going into the house, I know you real excited to see this girl, but come on, love yourself more. Y'all gotta love yourself more. It don't give a fuck who, I don't care who behind the door. Like, it could be anybody. You can't pull up to no abandoned house with rats in here and say, yeah, I'm about to pull up on this girl. Something about this is not right.
No, it's big wrong. And also, I thought it was really ugly when Jennifer was like, come on, Colin, isn't it what you emo guys are into? Rats, dead stuff. I said, bitch, what? Like, what the fuck? You think they really want to lay next to a rat, bitch? Get out of here. Please stop the madness. Cut this out. Colin looking at her like, girl, what is you talking about, baby? Poor thing, just got, you know, just disemboweled, just all your shit ate out. That's crazy. The way that she was, like, drinking his innards, like, a goddamn, like, little, like, soup bowl situation, and just, like, slide. I was like, girl, she, wowie. I just want to say that I liked her outfit, her being Jennifer's outfit, jumping ahead a little bit to the prom scene, or the final, like, little formal dance scene. You know, at this point, Needy has decided, you know, she can't be It's not safe for her and Chip to be in a relationship together because, you know, she's on to what Jennifer's got going on. She's like, I just need to go watch Jen. And Chip thinks this is, you know, Needy being just like a little too obsessed with her relationship status with Jen, which has always been like a situation or a thing that's been coming up in the entirety of their relationship. Just the nature of their being Jen and Needy's partnership. Because as Jay pointed out before, like, is there some underlying queer story as well? Like, are they more than just friends? And Jen makes a comment. I know she was being nasty to Needy, but I definitely think this is something that was going on. She was like, oh, do you want to play mommy and daddy? Like, I was like we used to. I'm like, bitch, you need to shut your mouth. Like, leave that girl alone. It's a scene where they're in the bedroom and Needy and Jen is kind of being fresh with Needy. And Needy's like, you need to get out. And Jen doesn't have any pants on and she puts her pants on and exits through the window. And Needy's like, bitch, how you get down? Did you jump? I don't know. But I just felt like, one, the dance scene was litty. I did not like how she tried to comfort Chip. She tried to take her bae. I ain't like that. That just felt like, you know, if you tired, girl, you could just have anybody here. Like, your idea of turning up at the function, great, wonderful. We love that in movies. But come on, your friend's former, current, maybe ex-man, please.
Is she friends with her, really?
No.
I don't think she's friends. She just wants possession of her. You belong to me, and nobody else can have you. You are my friend. And then she treats her like a rag doll, pretty much. Just like, I feel like Jennifer is giving Angelica, and Needy is giving Cynthia.
Yes.
And her edges snatched the fuck out all yes. the time. And you just here for the fucking ride, but you always by Angelica Saldo. She be throwing your ass through the fucking blender and putting gum in your hair. Look at you. Look at your edges. Because this bitch, are you still here? Well,
It's wild.
You know, either way, she eats her fucking boyfriend. Because first, he was like, she's like, I'm going to make out with him. And he does kiss her. And then they go to kiss again. He's like, I can't do this. He's about to go to leave. She's like, no. And Needy realizes that at the dance, like, oh man, she's going to eat my boyfriend. So she has to run to her boyfriend to go to this abandoned place, abandoned pool. Chip already about to get his ass beat. And then now they going back and forth, like you had said. She said that nasty ass shit. She also was like, bitch. Needy was like, bitch, you're starving yourself and shit just to say skinny, or taking like pills,
laxatives
to say skinny, bitch. Not you drinking
just
tummy tea,
unnecessary
bitch.
Drag. I was like, ma'am, you're in high school.
Please,
no,
don't
like
start.
This.
Not the tummy tea. Please,
baby,
stop.
Run away, love. It's just too much. It's too-
That song was so dramatic.
It was. It's stuck in my head.
But we get to the point, I'm going to just, you know, because I have a few things to say about, especially this dialogue. So yeah. We're going to jump through a story where, you know, Chip get got. He does help Needy and save her, like stabs Jen. And Jen's like, oh, man, ouch. The fuck you stabbed me? And then she goes home. And Needy is pretty much, you know, framed or in trouble for all this shit. And we start the movie with her in the asylum. And she's like, bitch, hell is a teenage girl. She's hell also. So she got bit by demons. She got some powers. She pull up at Jen fucking house. Well, no, she didn't get asylum. She pull up at Jen house and stab her ass up. Because she's like, you can't keep doing this. I got to stop you. And she stops her. But the mom sees her stab. Because to her mother, it looks like you just came in here. Mm-hmm. You're obsessed and you killed my fucking daughter. That's what you did. And now you are in the asylum, which you can probably break out. Because you have demon powers and you're a kicker.
Hey.
Yay. But
that was a fun twist.
I like this movie, but the dialogue. I want to talk about I wonder if he's circumcised, about the exchange student.
Oh yeah, I wrote that down too.
Then saying, are y'all fucking in here? Smell like Thai food. Girl, first of all, Thai food is fucking delicious, bitch. Let's start here.
Girl, I was like, every time some shit was said, I was just really like, okay, I see who wrote this, but this didn't go
but
over
it was
a couple
a woman,
other
though,
eyes.
Yeah.
Like, what's going on? Like, you didn't take a look at it?
They probably did, and they probably just thought it was quirky, it was fine, it was 2009.
Okay.
And they were like, yeah, this is the movie. We're going to say this stuff. And people were fucking saying anything. And Diallo Cody also wrote Juno. And Juno has some questionable parts as well.
Yes,
so it's
it
just
does.
Like, I kind of...
So there's pedophilia in both of these movies. Okay.
I could see that. I have not seen any of the other things that she's written to my knowledge.
Oh, I'm talking about Juno.
Yeah, and definitely a Juno, but I'm like talking about the other stuff. So I don't know if it goes through the rest of Diablo Cody's writing. But
okay. Well, Jennifer's Body and Juno.
Those two.
Runaway love. This is too much.
It is too much. I don't know why. Now, granted, I mean, she's probably just a bad person. She's just fucked up shit. She was like, bitch, you gotta dress cute, but you can't just, like, you know, pretty much you can't dress cuter than me.
Yeah. Like, you can't upstage Jennifer.
Yeah. So you gotta wear low-rise jeans and t-shirts to call it a day. And I don't know. Low-rise jeans are just... Can we outlaw those?
Long-sleeve tee.
Her outfit was... I mean, 2009. This is something that people would wear. Maybe. Yeah, but not people...
But Jen was forcing her to wear that shit. Like, she had to wear low-rise jeans so she could show a little A, but also she had to cover her arms up. Like, what's the reason? Like, what? Bye, bitch. Like, I get it, but I'm also like, just terrible, terrible. Just,
No. I also want to talk about the sex scene with Needy and Chip, just for the fact that she's having, like, connected, like, a night. She sees what Jennifer is doing at this point. And this is what Kat was talking about. The connection is stronger. I don't know how, but she's seeing what the fuck she's doing. She's screaming during this sex scene. He's like, am I too big?
I was like, ma'am, please.
Also, I've never been to a Super Target, guys.
I wonder if they're still with us. Target's pretty big.
Oh, because I'm like, dang, they got rid of
the bigger Target.
I was about to say, they discontinued the Super Target spot. Could go, goddamn.
I want to say yes with an asterisk, but not all of them. So I wonder if they're still with us, but it's just a really big Target. Because at one point, this is when some Targets had the grocery section and some did not. Like, they were just rolling that out for real.
Oh, it just says Target. If I type in Super Target, it doesn't. No, Super Target rebranded all of its Super Target stores in 2015. All the stores.
There we go.
Target. But you would come across a Super Target. It's just not going to be called Super Target.
It's a big ass Target.
I need to know the old locations because I need to go into one of them to just see.
Yep, I'll talk to you about it because that's a newer one. I'll talk to you about it. I want to talk a bit about Low Shoulder and what happens with Low Shoulder. Now, Low Shoulder did get the fame that they were looking for because, you know, they sacrificed what they thought to be a virgin to be to the devil, whatever. And, you know, they got all the fame and fortune. They got all the stuff that they wanted. They even ended up going back to the town to sing the song again. Like, they're really just full of shit. And so they meet their demise because Needy breaks out. And of course, Needy is on a mission. Needy finds the knife that they chuck down Devil's Kettle. And they found them at the end of wherever it kind of spouts out at while they're on the run. Pulls up on them at their hotel. And through the end credits, gives them the ending that they deserve. Now, the downside is Needy's DNA is all over the room. Not really sure where they're going. I'm a little concerned about them, but not really because, you know, they got these powers that we've kind of been introduced to a little bit. But also, I'm like, okay. I don't need to see more from the story. But I'm like, okay, that's cool.
Yeah, I'm like, you know, they deserve to get stabbed and beat that, get their ass beat. Maybe she doesn't care. And also, maybe she'll just go back into it because she's already considered criminally, you know, insane is what they would say. So she's already in there because she killed Jen. They're just going to put her back in there. Maybe more maximum security. Or she might just eject Osito on all of them and live her best life. I don't know. Because I don't know. The powers of she is pretty powerful. She be whooping people's ass.
Yeah.
But I don't think she's bulletproof, though. So I'm like, girl, the police going to shoot you. I don't know what you're talking about.
Know. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Privilege might jump out. Who knows? You know, she might get escorted to go get a sandwich or something before she goes back. Who knows? Have no clue. You know how people get down. Not really sure. Hey. But this movie's rating was a 5.4 out of 10 for IMDb and then a 45% on Rotten Tomato.
Ooh. Wow. Oh, no. No. She's 6.5. I like her. 6.5.
I think she's a 6.
Okay. All right.
She's not a 45. I don't even want to read why they're a 45, but I'm just like, I don't think she's a 45. She's at least a 6. 5.5, we're keeping it cute, but not a 45.
Yeah, we need to slap at least 10 more points on there. That's dusty. But again, I feel like it was marketed towards, they showed like just Jennifer as this girl, this hot girl. So people probably just the wrong people saw it. They probably was like, yeah, I'm gonna see it. Oh, this was whack. It's not for you. Okay. So, I mean, but even still, like, damn, 45 is, they was hating. 6.5. I'll give her that. It's mainly the dialogue that I have the problem with. It's the dialogue.
It's definitely the dialogue.
If the dialogue was different, this could easily be a 7.5 for me. But, you know, it's not different. So they even make a joke about you need to get your nails done. And they make a joke about, you know, Asian people doing nails. I'm like, bruh.
It was completely unfucking necessary. Like, what is the reason? Why? There is none at any point. There's no reason. Please stop. Like, yeah. But Jennifer's Body, that is a movie. Both of these, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Vampire Slayer and Jennifer's Body, both movies. If you want to check them out, they're both streaming on various platforms. We checked them out, I believe, on Amazon Prime.
Yeah, you gotta rent it if you want Buffy, but, you know, Jennifer Body's there.
Yep. And I know that, you know, so there are some people who, like, love the movie Buffy the Vampire Slayer and don't really bang with the show or vice versa, which is a sentence. But let us know your thoughts. Like, did you fuck with these movies? Do you not? Are these your first time even hearing about these films? I'm not sure how, but, you know, hey, I'm always interested. We would love to hear your thoughts. You can send us a professional email at grltspod@gmail.com. You know, you can always pull up on us all on the social machines, which is like Twitter or Instagram at Girl That's Scary. If you put in Girl That's Scary in the Google machine, all kinds of stuff pops up, including our website, www.girlthatscary.com. Which has links to our Patreon and all those other fun things. Pull up on us with a Patreon machine. Shout out to the patrons. Ow, ow. Shout out to you for listening today. We love that for all those fun things. I keep saying fun things because that's all I got in my brain. It's fun shit and confetti. But yes, thank you for listening. Rate us 5-star for 5-star chicks. If this is your shit, use a 5-star chick. And yeah, have an awesome, kawaii, cool day. Thanks for pulling up. Until next time, y'all. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Dread Podcast Network.